Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 2 hours to spend together, and if it is on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, as long as it has no consequence whatsoever. But I want to finish up with Paul from the other night, who was asking about Times Square Record that we talk about, the shop and the label. And he was asking about reissue labels. So I thought we'd spend a couple minutes talking about that and then move along. Of course, today, with the advent of CDs and, of course, everything since then, the idea of reissue labels became a lot more frequently seen. But you could argue that it really all came out of Times Square. That wouldn't be true, though. As I mentioned last night, Art LeBeau had the first label and the first oldies compilations dedicated to original R&B and early rock and roll, and that was Original Sound for Art LeBeau, which he formed in 57 and put his first album out in 58. But, as we were saying, at Times Square Records in New York City in the subway, that spawned quickly Lost Night. And Lost Night became Collectibles, CollectiblesOldies.com. So that was Jerry Green's line. At the same time, Wayne Sterl, who had been working also there, started Candlelight in 1961. And then Don Folletti, who had been working there as well, with Eddie Grease, started Relic in 1963. And a lot of things were reissued on Relic. In 68, Bill Buster in Pennsylvania came up with Eric. If you collected records and you were willing to take it on a reissue label as a 45, you probably have one. On Eric, there were just voluminous. There were a number of labels that were dedicated to specific, and I'm not talking about the bootlegs, by the way, that we could go on for the rest of time, but Repeat Records, which didn't come out till 79, but that is probably the best repository of old beach music songs. Then in the very early 80s, late 70s, Charlie Records out of Great Britain released vinyl, and a lot of original R&B was on that as well. You also had labels like Post, that was Buzz Curtis's label in Philadelphia, that went to the heart of co-sponsoring things with radio stations. So if you have like a WCFL Double Gold album, well, that was Post, and that was Buzz Curtis, or Wibbage 22 Big Goldens. You know, you name it. There were a ton of them, and there were also a lot of reissues as far as a lot of the groups too. Maybe you got the CKLW Solid Gold. That too was Post. So there were labels of that type. All the major labels started to get into the compilation business, but not as a main business. We talked about Roulette. They not only put out a lot of compilations on Golden Goodies and 22 original winners, but also partnered with a lot of radio stations to brand them for the individual call letters too. And Liberty, like I mentioned last night, put out a great series starting in 1960. And Mercury did in the 60s as well. But as far as the big reissue labels, if you're looking through your collection, most likely you're seeing Eric. But you could see Relic and probably some Lost Night as well. And oldies.com still exists online, but no longer affiliated with Jerry Green. So, end of story. All right, so now we have come full circle on that. What else do you want to know about? All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And when I say useless information, boy, do I mean it. Yeah. We've got a lot of it, and we'll share some of it next and hopefully take your calls too on WGN Radio.
Please give me more than just memories of you. All I have to keep me is my memories of you. I sit alone. Give me more.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, all the heartbeats would probably turn over at that. Although Raul Sita wrote it, so I guess he got credit for the four copies that Donnie and the Dreamers sold. That's the first of the six-pack requested by Sergeant Pappy. Donnie and the Dreamers did My Memories of You in 1961, and that was on the Whale label. I know, you're probably saying, who else was on the Whale label? And you got me if you know. So I know there are a few others that we've never heard of, but actually, I think the crew cuts for a while were later. Oh, tells you how big they are and how hard they fall, don't you think? So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Cindy is, I don't know, I don't think she's ensconced in her new place yet, so she's still in Norwich. And I should ask, is the new place in Norwich as well as the old one?
I don't know what you, well, the new place is not in Norwich, no.
Okay, so where's
it's
the new place?
In Schiller Park.
All right, so soon you'll be Cindy of Schiller Park. When you're moving?
I'm not moving for, I don't know, the real estate called me today. You know, I just was in a good mood, just like, not in a good mood, but just at peace and no anxiety about the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But then, anyhow, she called me up. I was just leaving because, and a half hour early for my show, another showing.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't even remember I had a showing. I mean, these are the top realtors in Illinois.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're advertising,
Could be worse. They could be lawyers. But go on. So, okay. So she calls you. She doesn't know she has a showing. And what does she say?
And then she called me hysterically that I should lower my price to this offer of $25,000 less than what she told me my house was worth.
No.
And I'm like, I talked back to her. I mean, I was told by my cousin not to talk back to her, just say that's too low of a price and that's it.
Well, you just said that's right. That's really all you need to say. Actually, it takes one word, no.
Yeah, and I'm just learning about this, but she was like telling me.
All right, so you told her no. So where are we now?
So then there was another showing today, and I felt like she was saying sarcastically that went well, too. I talked to them, and I just gave her a real nice note because I'm just really, I just said, all the houses on the northwest side have a little seepage in them, in the basement, all of them. And I said, no matter how much money you spend on what, making your house where you think someone's going to buy it, whatever you spend, that's the way my neighborhood is. They're just going to gut it.
All right. Here's the deal. You told her no. You're going to hold your price. You think that it's fair. And that's the end of the story.
Yeah, that's it. I just told her these people have no money sense.
All right. So then we move on. So the first one, I guess, fell through.
Well, that was... There's another showing, and I told, and then she said it's been 10 days, and
so
I'm
what?
Like, it's only three showings.
Well, 10 days, who cares? You might need to find another real estate agent if it keeps going the way it's going.
I know, but the thing is, I read the whole agreement with them, and you have to
Yes, you do have to give them the notice, and you have to list for the period of time you list, but you have to tell her, do not ask me to lower my price again, because I will not do it. You can just say that.
I told them. Yeah. I told them my final price, no less than three
okay.
30.
So just stick to it and ride it out, and hopefully you'll find somebody. And if you don't, then after the fact, you'll list it with someone else.
That's right. I mean, I'm just learning about this. I just know someone wants to. That's why I didn't sell my house for a really long time and hung on because
right.
I know. I just. Oh, someone's going to really try and rip me off
my house. They can try all they want. You don't have to agree. So,
no.
So just hold your ground and don't make it an emotional thing. Don't let it ruin your day.
I mean, she was hysterical.
Well, then, tell her to get a grip.
I did. Yeah, I guess she just wants to make her numbers.
Well, you know, get a grip. I'm not lowering my price. If you want to have a fit, please have it off the phone.
That's pretty much what I did.
And that's all there is
to
it.
I can't believe that happened.
Well, sure you can. People will do all sorts of things.
I'm well read about business and the economy, and most people are borderline homeless, and they got McDonald's.
Whatever. Just don't make it emotional, and don't churn it and regurgitate it and think about it and all the things that drive you crazy.
Yeah, I'm over it now, and
Excellent. So, anything else?
No, that's it. I don't have any requests.
All right. Well, good luck. Just relax. Be easy on yourself. Remember, you're in charge here.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Cindy. Good luck. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And yeah, never let anybody else, you know, get you to a point where you're becoming emotional over things, especially when you are 100% in control. Yeah. All right, so I have a friend, you know, off the air, a good friend who's been going through a divorce, and she's now on her third lawyer. And the things that have happened to this woman, because she goes over with me point by point, it's just astounding. You know, I keep coming back with, they passed the bar, you're sure? Yeah, it's just, as an onlooker, I can take this in stride. But I'll tell you what, she's been on a roller coaster for the last year that's been absolutely unbelievable. So I know that it can be very difficult dealing with professionals, but the biggest thing you can do for yourself is at least take your emotions out of it when you're going through this, or you can drive yourself crazy, and it's just not worth it. All right, so speaking of driving ourselves crazy, we have Ruth. What's up tonight, Ruth?
Hi, Mrs. Jane, top of the moon to you.
Mm-hmm, almost.
First, before I mention my comments about, if we have enough time, Mardi Gras, Chinese New Year's, last week you did the ink spots. And I can't even begin to tell you. It was so absolutely wonderful that I didn't call in with a request for a song, because I was just so over the moon with listening to the ink spots. Mm. And I got to thinking about when I had mentioned to my boss at House Beautiful, the magazine Hearst, that I wanted to leave my job. And he told me that I would have to send in a request to the publisher to leave the job.
I love that, by the way. No, I would have looked at him and said, no. There's just two words. I quit.
Well, anyway, what I did was I started crying.
No.
Huge tears came pouring out of me. I mean, huge ones. And the ink pad was on my desk, and it started overflowing, and I was embarrassed. I didn't want him to see me crying like that. And when I heard the song, especially the gypsy one, it was so poignant. It's such a fabulous song, especially for Valentine's Day, that it would come from the ink spot starting in the 1930s. They should just have a show with ink spot music all the time so we could hear more of it. But I thought about those great big giant tears and how they came upon their name, Ink Spots. But anyway, enough for now. I do have one request. Since you like country western and it's so much further away from doo-wop or R&B, Bonnie Raitt, Something About Coming Home.
Oh, God help me. I don't think there's going to be any Bonnie Raitt.
Okay, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't all right. Do it. You don't have to do it.
Thank you.
So I have the request coming forward.
I can't wait. Okay.
But now back for...
I got 30 seconds till the news, so you got to do a synopsis.
Okay. The St. Anne Parade in New Orleans, because I have a lot of costumes, and two of the costumes that I would have done, one or the other...
20 seconds.
That's the walking parade, would have been a costume of Marie Antoinette in a pink wig, with a big silver tray and a giant cookie that said, let them eat fortune cookies.
Well, there you have it. You would have been the hit of the Anne Walking Parade, the Society of St. Anne. We're going to the news, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much. All right, so on WGN Radio, here's the news.
Oh!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the five discs. Yeah, it's the second of Sergeant Pappy's six-pack. I remember, first thing they released, actually, it was on Vic, which was RCA's label. It was R&B mostly. It was an outgrowth of a label they had called X, and it was only around for about 2 years, but several records came out on Vic, and that was 1958. It's interesting, the five discs were an interracial doo-wop group in New York, and they put out five records in 4 years. Every one of them was on a different label. Yeah, Vic and Callow and Dwayne and Yale and Shear. So, yeah, all one-shots, and of course, none of them hit. But a flip side of the Dwayne record, My Chinese Girl, got really big on some of the early compilation reissues on CD. Yeah, so I guess that's their claim to fame. I'm not sure what is. And the fact that Sergeant Pappy likes them. So 888-876-5593 is James in Oregon. Hello, James.
Hey, good evening.
What's happening?
Yeah, I was interested. Was her name Cindy about her real estate issue?
Yes.
I come from a little lineage of some real estate agents. My mother was a broker in Hollywood area from the 70s and 80s.
Uh-huh.
And my brother does real estate in Ohio. He's a broker. And my daughter, I have a daughter in Orlando that's a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And my brother was telling me that I think starting this year, at least in Ohio, and he said it's a movement that's going nationwide because my daughter's in Orlando said she's hearing the same thing, is now me, the seller, I list with a real estate agent,
mm-hmm.
my house. I negotiate with him on what I'll pay them for selling my house.
Oh, the commission rate is negotiable. That's interesting.
Okay, yeah, but here's the thing. You want to buy the place. You negotiate with your agent on what you'll pay them.
Sure.
To pay them. No longer is the seller paying the whole commission.
Well, right. Especially if you have a broker's agent. There are all sorts of different deals that are being structured. That's absolutely true. And, of course, all bets are off right now with real estate. And part of it is that, of course, when interest rates were so low, prices went so high. And so at this point, they're fluctuating. It's not a case of you list your home and 3 days later it's sold necessarily.
Yeah.
But even so, even as people are slashing prices, still they're at a level that is so much higher than we saw in the past.
Yeah.
And let's face it, income, savings, wages, none of that's kept up with it.
Yeah.
So no. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea.
I had a couple of places I owned that I sold and, the guy, he says, well, I can get you X amount of dollars for it. Well, not even 30 days later, he wants to lower the price because he said, I can't get anybody to look at it. And I said, well, keep trying.
Right.
You know, I'm giving you 6%.
Right.
You know, you said you want 6%. Okay, I'll give you 6%. And then he said, well, how about you lowering it? And I said, okay, I'll lower it. How about you go from 6% to 5% or 4%?
Right.
Well, I can't do that.
Right.
And he said, I can't do that. Well, then what makes you think I want to lower my price?
Exactly,
you know,
right.
And then I tell him, look, I don't have to sell the place.
Right.
I'll sell it and turn it into something else. So I don't have to sell it. So if you can't sell it for the price you told me to do it, you know, just tear up our contract and we'll move on.
Right. Good for you. What happened?
Well, he said, oh, okay. And so he kept it. And I said, come to me 2-3-4 months down the road and you can't sell it at that price, then we'll negotiate it. But until then, I'm not going to slash my price within 20 days because you can't get it.
So how did it wind up in the long run?
Well, I ended up selling it I took my little bit of profit that I got out of it and then I bought a duplex in another place and had another source of income, and that's how I did it. Now my condo, I get people down there, they want to buy it, and well, how much you want to do? And they'll say they give me X amount of dollars. I said it appraised at this amount of money. Well, I'm looking at they look at comparables, they call it comps
yeah, which in the area. Are not necessarily comparable, yes.
Yeah, and they're saying, well, it's they're only getting this amount of money. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. When I went to refinance it to get a loan so I could redo the project, the property and stuff, I said the bank sent out an appraiser. And I said, you tell me how they appraise it. Is it appraised at what they think it'll sell if it's fixed up, or do they appraise it at what they think the value is at that time that they look at it? Well, as they look at it at that time. Well, I said, then why should I sell it for $200,000 less? Because you're gonna sell it to a flipper. They call flippers.
Right.
You know, they go in. They're gonna put $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into it. And then they're going to get that big dollar, and I'm sitting on the outside. And I said, no, I don't have to do it.
Here's the thing I don't understand. Why even have the conversation? If someone says, well, I can get it for $200,000 less across the street, say, okay, go ahead, thanks, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason to have the discussion.
No. And then I found a guy that came in and fixed it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a divorced man, and my family knew him, so it wasn't like I didn't know him. And he said, can I rent it from you? And I said, yeah. So I turned around and rented it to him, and instead of paying him cash, I just give him credit every month for the work he did.
Okay.
And I got my property. I got it fixed up.
Good.
I got a tenant in there that takes care of it.
Yeah, so it worked out. No, when the gun's not against your forehead there, you don't have to sell cheap or do anything quickly. Of course not. And when somebody wants to argue the point, there's no reason for you to engage in it. Just say, okay, understand. Go find it. Bye.
Yeah. Go buy it.
Yeah.
And what I do is I get people call all the time wanting to buy it, and I just tell them, no, I'm looking to buy more of them. And they just hang up, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No, well, of course, there's no shortage of people who want to steal it from you, of course. And I don't blame them for trying. Go ahead and try. But there is reason for you to even have the conversation.
Was the old saying, Jesse James used a gun to rob you?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so there's no emotion involved in any of this. It's the way it is. But I would not get entrapped in having discussions with people like that.
No, I just hang up. When they call me now, I just hang up on them.
Exactly.
But, I just do that. But I just wanted to, I know that there's this new movement going on now that in the real estate agent where you the seller, no longer pay the full price.
As I say, there are all sorts of creative deals that are out there. And of course, to the informed buyer, they're going to factor that percentage into what they're willing to pay. You know, that's the bottom line to it. And, you know, it's right now, I think the only thing that is keeping the market as high as it is, and it is certainly historically very high, is that there is not a glut of inventory. And I don't foresee that there will be right now, because people who got into houses at 2% and 3% on a mortgage, well, they're not going to be able to turn around and buy something else at that percentage right now. So chances are, if they don't have to move, they're staying put. So you've got a low supply, and so the demand might be outpacing it. But if you don't have to sell it, just sit tight and enjoy yourself.
Just sit on it. Yeah, my daughter, she's got two or three investors that she works with that buy a lot of property, and now they're starting to hit the 65 years of age and stuff, and their wives want them to start selling off a lot of that property they own. Okay. And just retire, you know, and enjoy life. And so she's got a lot of them down there in Orlando that's they'll be trying to sell their property, but she gets worried because
her concern, sure.
The percentage is now is what 6-7% for loans and stuff like that and like that. And her broker, he's an older guy. He's up in his 70s. He's the one that owns the brokerage, and he said, you know, they had him in for a meeting, and he said, you know, back when he was in his 20s and 30s when he started, business. You know, interest rates were, you know, 9%, 10%, stuff like that.
Well, it fluctuates. You know, if you remember back far enough to the fairly early 80s, they were 18%, and you were seeing routine mortgages at 14, 15%, and new home builders were doing a 3-2-1 buy down. You know, your first year, you'll only pay 10%. And then, yeah, of course, it fluctuates, sure.
Yeah.
And, and it will continue to.
So she calmed down a little bit, you know, and she understood what I was telling her. I'm telling her I've seen it higher. You know,
I think it's too artificially low right now myself.
Yeah.
I think it should be much higher than it is. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what that brings. But if she's in the business, none of it should be emotional to her. She should just hop a seat on the roller coaster ride and prosper.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Hey, I was going to say something about the, for the, bluegrass lovers that you have that listen every night.
Mm-hmm.
in June, the reason I say it is hotels and stuff fill up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. What you got?
In June in Owensboro, Kentucky, they have their big bluegrass festival in June. I think it's called ROMP, R-O-M-P, they call it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a two-three-day event. And it's a big bluegrass event. They do it every year. And the motels and stuff fill up pretty fast. Campgrounds fill up pretty fast, stuff like that. So, you know, it's in Owensboro, Kentucky, and it's they got people from all, and I say all over the world. They come from all over the world. That was their one year. They had people from Sweden that played bluegrass, Finland, stuff like that.
Sure,
UK, Japan.
It's certainly a niche, but there are a number of people, and I'm aware of it this year because Dierks Bentley, who's an Arizona guy, is headlining ROMP. And
is he?
Yeah, there's a number of other people who will be there, obviously, most of which you will never have heard of them. But it's June 26th or 29th in Owensboro, rompfest.com.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Yeah, so it's always a pretty cool event and stuff like that. And, you know, they have a lot of barbecues and stuff going on. And And, so anybody's interested in it, I recommend to go there.
Yeah, check it out. Like you say, rompfest.com, and they'll even list all the hotels that are around. And, you know, because Owensboro's big enough. They got a Hampton Inn and a Holiday Inn and all that kind of stuff. So plenty of places,
they have
town suites.
They got a few hotels and stuff in there.
Absolutely.
Like that. And then the next biggest city is Evansville, Indiana.
Right, of course.
Which is about an hour away.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Well, that's neat. Rompfest.com. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well,
deal,
I'm
going
to get off, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. All right. So, yeah, Dierks Bentley. I knew about that, but I read the list of everybody else, and I can't tell you who any of them are because I've never heard of a one of them. But if you are a bluegrass fan, yeah, check it out, rompfest.com. But right now, oh, the time has come. The moment you've been waiting for. You're all a quiver, I know. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Because I know I'm so.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is California doo-wop royalty, that's for sure. That's the Hollywood Flames, and I know. And that was on Swing Time in, I think, 1954. I'd have to look it up to know for sure. But that was an interesting group. A lot of people were in that group. Bobby Day and Earl Nelson and Curtis Williams and Gaynell Hodge and Prentice Moreland and many others. Just a terrific little group. And yeah, I know, 1953, I just looked it up on Swing Time, which was a sweet label. Jack Lauderdale owned that. All right, so it was originally Downbeat, and they changed it to Swing Beat, and then Swing Time. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. I got the cream that I was supposed to get for the pain. It does nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, you were
absolutely nothing. I don't even, you know.
Yeah, why bother, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, I'll put some on here. Why am I doing this? It does nothing.
Right.
But it's like, well, I've got to do something.
Yeah, yeah. At least you feel like you're doing something. You don't feel any better, but
yeah,
you're doing something, yeah.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, I was thinking about possibly, I don't know, some people say they're quacks, some people say they've done them a lot of good, so I was calling about, you know, what do you know about chiropractors, and what is it that they...
All right. Firstly, they run the gamut like everything else, just like a DO or an MD. You're going to get great ones, you're going to get awful ones. So to
right,
you know, paint with a brush and saying they're quacks or whatever. No, I'm sure there is somebody licensed who may fall into that designation, but the discipline itself, no. In fact, chiropractors had to sue the AMA years ago. I think it was about the early 70s, because the AMA routinely branded them as being useless and all that, and so they sued them. And they won. It is a discipline started, obviously, you know, in Iowa, in radio station WOC with Hands Only, and WHO with Hands Only, and World of Chiropractic in Davenport. Anyway, there's a lot to it. And there are some great chiropractors out there, I truly believe. There are also now, you've got a lot of opportunists who are into other disciplines, applied kinesiology and stuff like that. And my experience with that has been just horrible. If you even say the word applied of kinesiology to me, I run. And God knows I gave it a lot of tries. But as far as a good quote-unquote bone cruncher, and they don't have to crunch bones anymore. They can use activators, so they're not, you know, necessarily grabbing your neck and twisting it. You don't have to worry about that.
That was a concern.
Well, yeah, that could be a concern. I understand that. But no, they
is the cure worse than the disease?
Right.
I don't want that.
Precisely. But they can use an activator and be fairly gentle about it, too. And I find that most of the chiropractors I have encountered, I don't think I'd give you a nickel for them. But when I find one that's good, it's just a godsend. So I don't diss the whole discipline. I think there is a lot to it, but it's finding somebody who's really good and can do you some good. Now, that said, whether or not, because you're talking about things like rheumatoid arthritis, degenerative bone diseases that you've had for a while, how much good, I think that would vary. But the first key is finding someone who's really good, and that is tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as
you know, the problem is if they can't give me pain medication, I can't keep doing this.
Well, okay, now as far as that goes, that's state by state. Some states chiropractors can write. Now, they may not be able to write for opioids, but they can write. So let's see what Texas laws are about that, you know, because there are other choices besides straight opioids, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't care. As long as it takes care of the pain, you know, it's not a thing where I'm looking for opioids. It's,
right,
you know,
exactly.
I'm looking for pain relief.
Okay, and no, I don't think they can in Texas. Only MDs and DOs, dentists, podiatrists, DPMs, and veterinarians, DVMs, can issue prescriptions. So they are not allowing chiropractors to write physicians in write prescriptions in Texas. So,
but you know, I figure if they can do something you know, some kind of realignment or something where I'm not in as much pain.
Right. No, absolutely. If you can find somebody good, and that's the big if, I would wholeheartedly endorse it. The problem is you very often have to go through a lot of people to find them.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And because even the, you know, the kinds of pain medications that I used to take, they won't give me now. Even the non-opioids.
Right. Well, what they're saying is they're saying, oh, well, you have a kidney disorder, and this can be havoc on the kidneys, and so we won't prescribe this, you know, that kind of stuff, or liver, or whatever, you know, that type of thing. You do need to work with somebody, no doubt about that, because you can't just be in pain. That's not an acceptable answer.
No.
Yeah. Now, a lot of chiropractors have a complimentary first visit, so where you're not shelling out a lot of money to find somebody good. Now, not all of them, but a lot of them may. And so you can try it that way without a lot of dollars being on the line. And so that's good. You know, occasionally AltMed can be terrific, alternative, you know, naturopaths and such. But in Texas, they're not able to write prescriptions either. It's going to, you got that. And also there again, you got a lot of people that you probably wouldn't want to see. So finding someone good. And then with naturopaths, very often the best ones are really pricey. So
I'm sure my insurance would not cover that.
No, your insurance will not cover that, and it won't do much on chiropractic either, if anything at all. It may do some.
I didn't think so, but you know,
some. But this can be cheap enough that you would you know it could be affordable enough that you would do it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm willing to put out what I can if insurance won't.
Right.
Know,
well, exactly.
And
you know, I've been to chiropractors who have cost a literal fortune. God, one guy, he was into me for over $2,000 before I realized this was garbage. But the guy that we see now, he's actually $29 a visit. So I don't consider that
That's
very
not
pricey.
Bad.
Right.
I could do that.
Right. See, so they vary. And we like this guy. This was after trying like 30 people here. So
wow.
So, yeah, our all-time favorite was a guy in Westchester, Pennsylvania, but he retired. Not only is he inconvenient, he retired. So, yeah, I know. But I've encountered some miracle workers, but those are much you know, less often than the guys that I'd say, oh, my God. So, but as far as a discipline, yeah, it can be life-changing with the right guy or gal.
Yeah. So is there, you know, something...
when it comes to word of mouth.
That, you know, that I could ask them, I mean, to try to find out, like, you know, is this person, you know, a quack or is this person for real?
You know, no, there, obviously, you know, if they're licensed, nobody's going to say he's a quack. Differing schools.
No.
Some people like Palmer graduates. Palmer is the original because he was the guy who started it all out of Davenport. But there's a good chiropractic college in Atlanta. I think it's Life. There's a good one in Los Angeles. So and also in Portland, I think. But so they don't have to, you know, all be Palmer grads or something like that. But to me, like I say, the words that I would if they say, oh, we believe in applied kinesiology. OK, goodbye. You know, and I know there are some people probably listening who are saying, oh, I think that's just great. Well, fine. You can have it. You know, because I don't. But, you know, you can look online. Most of them have websites. And a lot of them will also have, you know, have Facebook pages and things like that. And there's no shortage of reviews. But I have found, at least here, when we went through our cavalcade of damn near 30 people before we found one we liked, the reviews meant nothing. You know, I mean, some of the ones who gave them the best reviews, John and I just kind of looked at each other and said, really? So, I wholeheartedly believe in it, but it's the trick is finding the right person.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to, you know, I have a friend who went to somebody that she really said, you know, was a game changer for her.
Okay.
So,
well, that's a good recommendation.
You know.
That's exactly what you want.
So I might check. She says she doesn't think that they'll probably take the
that's all right.
Insurance, but, you know, if I can work out something where I can do payments of some
Right, exactly.
Reasonable payments.
But first, go for a little while and see if you agree that he's really somebody, or she is somebody you want to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
So a pox on Texas for not allowing naturopaths and chiropractors to write prescriptions.
I know.
But they don't. Yeah, yeah.
Texas, gotta love it.
Well, hey, it's better than Tennessee where they outlaw naturopaths. They don't let them practice.
Oh.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and there again, you know, you'll find people who are, you're just saying, I never want to see this person again. You'll find other people who are the game changers. So I would not hesitate to say, look for the right guy, but realize it may be a real odyssey finding him.
Right. And I heard something today I thought I would never hear. I never expected this person to do this song. Hey Jude, done by Wilson Pickett.
Yeah, well, Wilson Pickett's a kind of a problem. You know, he also did Sugar Sugar, the Archies record. So
really? Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I thought Hey Jude was bad enough. I thought, well, the only good thing about this song is I was hungry and now I've lost my appetite.
Completely. No, Wilson Pickett does make you wonder on a lot of this. Now, I don't know if they tied him to a chair and he had no choice, or, you know, if this was something he was willing to do, or how this came about. But there's several things that you might say to yourself. Now, exactly how did that come about?
That's exactly what I was saying, because Gary came across it and he said, you got to hear this.
Uh-huh.
And he knew about it before. I had never heard it or never heard of it. And he said, oh, yeah. You know, like, no.
Oh, yeah. No, I've actually got both of them. But since you haven't heard Sugar Sugar, I'll let you hear a little of that. So then your life will be complete. Yeah.
Sugar.
Yep.
Yeah,
I've heard him do that. I forget where. Maybe you played it. I don't know.
Well, it could have been, but yes, you've heard that. And of course, for folks who didn't remember Hey Jude. Oh, I say Joe. Sorry, that I was saying that sounds a lot.
I was going to say that didn't sound like Hey Jude.
No, I've got it right underneath it. And I was listening to that saying it's better than I remember. This song's a lot better than I remember. Well, yeah, it's not the right damn song. Here we go. Yeah, I'm thinking, God, this is much better than I remember.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad.
Yeah, they've already made it bad. They can make it worse. All right,
I know.
Yes. Yes. But I'm listening to that 19-second intro, I'm saying, well, maybe Hey Jude wasn't that bad after all. But Hey Joe, okay, well, very good. All right.
Okay, yeah, that's a little better. But, yeah. But Chris, I can't think of anybody who could do that song to make it sound good.
No, it's one of those records that always hits the world's worst hit records, but also hits the guilty pleasures. People either love that or hate it, and I'm absolutely in the hate it class.
Oh, me too. And there's too many na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. It goes on forever and ever, amen. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes. So that and Sugar Sugar. So, you know, the Wilson Pickett is suspect.
Yeah.
That's really all there is.
I don't know. You must have really either needed money. I don't know.
Well, that's why I say
he would do that. But
I hope there's a bigger story there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Well, yeah, a while ago in Texas, they had a thing where they ordered chiropractors to stop practicing outside their legal scope, which ended some of the practices who were, you know, they were just all over supplements and stuff like that. And I'm not dissing supplements. I'm just saying that some of them went far afield from the original discipline, and Texas came down on them for that. So you might find more pure chiropractors than in other places. So I'd start with your friend's suggestion and let me know how it goes.
I will do that.
All right, thanks.
Raleigh.
Sure thing. Okay, bye.
Okay.
So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So, Eric, Eric is in Northern Illinois. Welcome to WGN Radio, and you've got a suggestion for Fran. What you got?
I got a few things you might look into for the bad back. One time I had to go to the doctor, and I was having some back trouble, and he asked me, how old is your mattress? So I had to go out and change it. I was embarrassed to say.
Now, Fran does not have a bad back. Fran has rheumatoid arthritis, so she's got joint pain.
Yeah, I have that, and I've got compressed discs.
That's just horrible. And so what were you
doing? Those things are really, Jiminy Cricket, things hurt.
Yeah, absolutely they do. So what'd you use?
Well, I found this out at the VA, and they gave me, I don't know the technical name of the medicine, they gave me this one shot. It was supposed to help me absorb calcium, and I fainted, so they switched it. And now I have to take one shot every 2 years.
Oh, man.
And then I take the calcium and vitamin D earlier was quite low, so that might have been...
Always good to improve your vitamin D, but when you're taking D, you need to take K also, because the D won't metabolize the K.
And onions, they help you absorb. Yeah. See, they gave me this medicine. I've got a little bit of prostate cancer going on, so they gave me this medicine. It lowers the testosterone, because that feeds cancer.
Yeah.
And then you need that to absorb calcium.
Right.
So it's a vicious circle.
Now, John said you tried some massage as well.
No, I was going to... What's the difference between shiatsu and... what's the other one? It's shiatsu and... What's the other one where they... It's like a... I think it's a Japanese
term? Well, yeah, shiatsu is Japanese, and it's got kneading and hang on a minute, we'll do the news, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
As I stood and I looked at the sky, there I saw such a wondrous light. It reminded me of a star I had landed, and you gave me, yes, you gave me, well, you gave me peace of mind. So I fell down on my knees and I prayed that the Lord would end our evil way. And you threw your loving arms around me, and you gave me, yes, you gave me, yes, you gave me peace of mind.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1956 on VJ, that's the Spaniels. You gave me peace of mind, and yeah, that was another of Sergeant Pappy's six-packs. So I don't think we're going to get through all six tonight either, but we'll get at least one more of them. So hope you like Doo-Wop, because he sure does. 888-876-5593. We're talking to Eric. He's in Northern Illinois, and he was bringing up shiatsu, which is, as you mentioned, Eric, it is a Japanese massage, but it's based on a Chinese theory of qi meridians. So have you been experiencing this? Has it been good for you? What do you think?
I never took it. I used to live on Fifth Avenue in San Diego, and they had a sign on the second story of this one building that said shiatsu.
Yeah.
I was feeling fine. I didn't have to go in for anything.
Yeah, some people rave. Other people say it does nothing. But its bottom line is it's supposed to manipulate energy flow because supposedly the chi is channeled through certain pathways in the human body, the meridians. And if you, in fact, can manipulate it correctly, you can, in fact, have better health. Now, I don't know either, but that's the theory of it.
I heard also that there's a meridian for each tooth in your head.
Absolutely. But, well, they come together, actually. But, yeah, all this stuff is online if you're ever interested. That's one wonderful thing about the Internet. You'll find it all in great supply.
The other thing I look is for health benefits and then of X. You put in like onions or blueberries or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's almost a countless number of substances that can be beneficial to you, and of course most.
And weight bearing, that's another good one for the bones. Maybe get a weight jacket.
Well, good and bad, depending on what the condition is. So that's why for some people, aquatic exercise to avoid that weight bearing is good. And for other people, of course, you want to build up the muscle mass. So, yeah, it depends on the condition. But, you know, the human body is, you know, on the one hand, we're all alike. And on the other hand, we are each unique. And I think that I don't think there's any blanket rules on this, at least not that I have. What works for one person may not for another. So anyway,
okay, well, thank you, really. I'm going to have to run now.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling. All right, so 888-876-5593. On the screen, it said shiatsu, and I thought he had been experiencing that. And sure, anecdotal stories absolutely welcome. So, yeah, but meantime, hopefully Fran will find a great chiropractor. And we will talk to Leah in Marcus Hook. How's it going tonight, Leah?
Oh, good. How's it going with you? I hope you're feeling better than last night.
Well, better than last night, yes. It couldn't have gotten too much worse.
Okay. Well, yeah, the reason I was calling was because I saw the show. Do you know the show Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Heard of it.
Larry David.
Heard of it, but never saw it.
Okay. Well, he had this episode where he gave water to this woman who was standing in line to vote in Georgia.
Okay.
And he was like returning these eyeglasses to her that he borrowed from her. And then she was standing in line in the hot sun for like 2 hours. And she's like, oh, I'm so thirsty. And he said, wait a minute, I have a bottle of water in the car. Let me get it for you. And he gave her a bottle of water, and he was just her friend, you know, and all of a sudden these cops come up and arrest him.
For
and I
what?
Was like, is that for giving her a bottle of water?
Really?
And they said it's illegal to give food or water to someone standing in line to vote in Georgia. And I was wondering if that's true and why.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, we talk about laws that are influencing election, but I wouldn't think that giving someone water would be among them. I got to look this up because I don't know. And if it's not online, then I really don't know. But let's have a look.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't Google it yourself. Standing in line to vote in Georgia. That's interesting. I can't imagine it. And if it is there, I can't wait to read how this law is worded. So let's see. All right, here, this is from August. Oh, this is interesting. Where a judge partially, mind you, struck down a Georgia ban on giving voters food and water in polling lines. A federal judge on Friday of August of 2023 narrowed a section of the Georgia election law that banned the practice of handing out food and water to voters standing in line to cast ballots, as well as halted enforcement of a requirement that voters put their birth dates on the outer envelope of their ballots. See, that would stop me from voting right there. U.S. Judge J.P. Boulay, however, declined requests from the challengers to block aspects of the law that limited who could deliver an absentee ballot on behalf of another voter. Yeah, well, that's a whole other world, obviously, so I don't blame him for that. So his ruling on so-called line warming allowed the ban to still be enforced in what he dubbed the buffer zone around a polling place within 150 feet of the building where ballots are being cast. But he paused enforcement on the ban in the supplemental zone, the additional areas that are within 25 feet of a voter standing in line. So, yeah, I guess it's unless you have a ruler, it's still on the books. So, yeah. So central to this conclusion was the fact that unlike the buffer zone's reasonable 150-foot radius, the supplemental zone has no boundary. SB 202 prohibits organizations from engaging in relief activities in the supplemental zone if they are within 25 feet of a voter, even if the organizations are outside of the 150-foot buffer zone. Okay, to me, that's 17 words in search of a sentence. I'm not even going to think about what it means.
But it's only organizations.
Don't think that necessarily. It's not that it's only organizations. So
that's crazy.
So,
is it only Georgia?
Well, I mean, every state is entitled to their own voter laws. Now, of course, the federal government can overturn them if they feel that they're unconstitutional for whatever reason. So apparently, yes, giving voters food and water in polling lines, they now have requirements for how you can or cannot do that.
That's crazy to me.
Well, it's all crazy to me. That's why we don't talk about politics. We just have a good time because it's all crazy.
I know. But did you hear Walter's perspective tonight?
No, I don't hear Walter's perspective ever.
Oh, it was really funny tonight. He suggested that Taylor Swift might be Joe Biden's choice for vice president.
All righty then. So maybe it's something in the water. I don't know.
That was really funny.
Very good. Very good. No, I take the opportunity to leave the room as promptly as possible. So, no.
That cracked me up. I thought that was really funny. I thought, if that happens, I'm moving. If Taylor Swift gets elected vice president, I'm moving to Canada.
I don't know. You see some of the stuff that goes on there. I don't know that you'd be better off. But geez, Louise, no. I think you're safe from that. You really, of all the things to put on your worry list, this is not on it.
I hope not.
Nope. I can almost guarantee you safety from that. Meanwhile, I'll try to in the coming days look up a cogent explanation for what you can and cannot do now with someone standing in line. So we'll enjoy.
Yeah, because that to me is crazy. I don't see how it's political though. It's not even political.
Well, no. Obviously, it's covered by a law that encompasses things that could be politically biased. But you're right. There's a word for it. That word is insanity. I'll try to figure out, what this is exactly. But I wish myself a lot of luck. I've always said the definition of politics is poly as many and ticks are blood-sucking parasites. But I heard a description today, a thing, and you've probably seen it because it was online, and I'll try to paraphrase it. I don't have it in front of me. But he said, well, son, I'll explain politics to you. Now, you see, politics is I'm saying to my daughter, will you marry this guy? And she says, well, no. And he said, well, what if he's Bill Gates? And so she said, well, yeah, I'd marry Bill Gates. Okay, so he calls Bill Gates. Will you marry my daughter? No, I don't even know who you are. Well, my daughter is president of the bank of wherever, some multinational. And he's, well, yeah. And so he said, yeah, she's president of that. I'll marry her. Okay. So he calls the bank and says, I want you to make my daughter president of your bank. What are you? There's no way am I. Well, she's marrying Bill Gates. Okay, we'll have her. That's how it works.
That's great.
Yeah, well, when
that
you think about
it works.
That is how it works. Yeah. All right.
That is. That's exactly how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you know. All right. I'll try to find out more about these thirsty voters.
Okay, thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Johnny D, we'll get to Stephanie, and that'll probably call it a night on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And yes, those are the Time Tones. Pretty Pretty Girl. We played yesterday, I Got a Feeling. And Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear the other side on Echo, 1961. Pretty Pretty Girl. And now he has. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, it's Johnny D in Ohio. What's up at night, Johnny?
Hey, Raleigh. I'm all by myself again, so I thought I'd call to listen.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Sergeant Pappy, I haven't heard about him in a long time.
Yeah, he called for a six-pack last night. Now, last night I played your Parliament record. I hope you heard it.
Oh, burning down the...
Tear the roof off the sucker.
Tear the roof off the sucker.
Yeah.
But no, so then, you know, the reason I called then is that, you know, I want to request a song, but Root had suggested it. And you said no, but it's because she probably was requesting the wrong song by Bonnie Raitt.
I don't know that I play any record by Bonnie Raitt. But
I wanted to request "Burning Down the House" or "Love Letter." What?
All right, I'll listen to them. I don't.
Oh my God, they're two good songs, Raleigh.
I don't hold much hope, but I'll be happy to listen to them.
All right. All right. If not that, how about Robert Palmer, "Addicted to Love"? Or Simply Irresistible?
Well, I'll do Addicted to Love, actually. I wouldn't do Simply Irresistible. I'll do Addicted to Love. All right.
Why won't you do Simply Irresistible?
I don't want to hear it. Well, you know the rules. I'll take your request as long as I'm willing
simply
to hear the song.
Simply Irresistible is right. A great song.
Keep talking and you're not going to get addicted to love. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, I played his Parliament last night. I think he was the only person listening who wanted to hear Tear the Roof Off the Sucker, but he did. So, all right, hopefully he heard it. He didn't actually acknowledge that, did he? Stephanie in Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Thank you very much. First thing, I love all the doo-wop. I absolutely do. Love all kinds of music, but I wanted to say first, I was really kind of enjoying the different topics. It's kind of taking me through earlier parts of my life because I worked in housing. I was a housing counselor and dealt with a lot of rental disputes and all kinds of other stuff. And it was interesting. Also, then I studied alternative health. I was going to become a massage therapist. So it was, you know, and the whole thing, a lot of times when you find the right person for whatever, word of mouth, if you've got, word of mouth. That's, when I saw a chiropractor, a lot of people that I knew and respected saw this guy, and including my sister, and this guy was great. It's, the more you can talk with other people, you know.
Doesn't always work. You know, like I've had some where they become highly recommended. I know people who swear by them. I went and I thought, never again. But, it can go both ways. But, yeah, that's pretty much the only way because, you know, all the reviews that are online are basically going to send you on the road to hell because most of those are, in fact, not from real people. Some are,
exactly.
But most are put there. And so I wouldn't use that as my yardstick.
And, you know, not everybody's alike. And just one, there could be somebody that one person really likes and thinks is great, and the other, you know, you don't. And you've got to trust yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to really trust yourself. And it just kind of took me as like, God, I've come a long way, you know, especially... you hire to represent you to like try to sell your, trying to order you around. I'm going to give me a break. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised about that, too. I'm also surprised about, that was Cindy who said she had a real estate agent go ballistic and argue with her and yell at her. No. That's unacceptable.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I'd fire that person ASAP.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Oh, yeah. But I wanted to make a request of one song. I would love to hear G by the Crows. Oh,
okay.
I love that song.
All right.
I would love it, love it, love it. And thanks for playing all the awesome doo-wop.
A lot of people claim that G by the Crows was the first true rock and roll record. And, you know, I mean, that's a real debate. And in fact, Steve Probst's book, there's like 50 different possibilities. But I think there is some truth to it from the standpoint of, yeah, I know that the term rock and roll came, of course, from 60 Minute Man and all that. But G was probably the first doo-wop song that got rock and roll airplay on the early, early, you know, stations that would be top 40.
Yep.
And
such a great song.
And we're still still in oldies rotation. When, you know, a lot of people will talk about from time to time, Boss Radio, you know, 93 KHJ and all this, and which came on in May of 1965. Well, as one of their oldies, when they came on in May of 1965, it was on the list, G by the Crows. So that was like 11 years later. So a lot of people revere that record. You're not alone.
Oh, I love it, love it, love it. Where do you? I asked my husband this question. He said he thought maybe New York. Where do you, did doo-wop originate anywhere? I mean, now there's different.
No. The short answer is no. Firstly, if you look at the history, you're not looking at doo-wop. You're looking at vocal group harmony. And if you had to pick any guy, it probably would have been Bill Kenny of the Ink Spots, who was sort of, and he wasn't doo-wop, but he was what would become doo-wop. And by the 40s, you were actually hearing the phrase doo-wop in records, believe it or not, and that type thing. But it sort of gelled. And by the early 50s, of course, vocal group harmony as a style was pretty much everywhere. Now, there were obviously a lot of groups that were New York-based. And, you know, you also had Alan Freed and Moish Levy, who, you know, he's the guy behind the concerts. But anyway, who, in fact, really fostered all of the big shows. But you had just as much going on the West Coast. You know, of course, Original Sound coming on and Art LeBeau. But you look at, like, the Bahari Brothers and Modern and stuff like that. And you look at Aladdin and, you know, Crest. And you can think of half a dozen off the top of your head labels that that had a number of things that were doo-wop. So I wouldn't put it as just East Coast by any means. And then, of course, a lot of people talk about WPLJ, the record, not the radio station named after it. And that was a Bay Area record. So you can't deny the influence of the Bay Area. So, no, I don't think it was limited to any one place. But you were hearing the word doo-wop from the 40s on, and then as far as naming it, you know, that's also sort of a debate, because a lot of people said, well, that was Gus Gossard in 1971, and of course he did a lot of the revival concerts, no doubt about it. But if you start to research it, the Chicago Defender used the word doo-wop in 1961. So I don't think that there is, and that's Chicago, you know. So, and of course, Robert Pruder wrote the doo-wop book of Chicago. That's just terrific. I think it's just like rock and roll, where it is the melding of a number of things that came together.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, as far as the West Coast doo-wop, I love the Pentagons. Oh my God, I love that.
Oh, John said I gotta go now. I thought that went to top of the hour, but we got another break, and I love the Pentagons too. So call me next week.
I will, dear.
Oh,
thanks.
Oh, John, I see. It is top of the hour. All right, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye. All right. So that pretty much, I guess, is a wrap. I'll learn to tell time, but probably not in this lifetime. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling me, because it makes the show easier to do. There is a replay of Monday Night Trivia tomorrow night. Next live show is Monday night for Monday Night Trivia, promptly at 10 o'clock. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.